whole subject is characterized by defining a lot of terms and proving a lot of formal things. And I have a tendency to do that if I just follow my notes. I'm going to wing it a bit. I didn't say enough about stable equivalence. Incidentally, if you got a question, stop me, because I tend to just babble on. So if you have a spectrum, ordinary spectrum, which means consists of spaces, one for each n greater than or equal to zero pointed spaces, and bonding maps, which I'm representing here in their adjoint form. Okay? Suppose you got such a thing. Then these stable homotopy groups of X, or the K-stable homotopy group of X, is defined as the filtered colimit of homotopy groups like that based at the canonical base point for the spaces involved. Okay, and how do you see this system? Well, this gadget induces a map in homotopy groups and of course that's a loop space there, so if n plus k homotopy group is isomorphic to n plus first plus k homotopy groups of xn plus 1, it's the filtered colimit of this system that you're taking there. Okay? That is a perfectly natural construction, so that if now Y is a pre-sheaf of spectra, you get, first of all, a pre-sheaf of stable homotopy groups. Here K is an element of Z. Okay? So for each member of Z, you get a pre-sheaf of stable homotopy groups defined this way. As pre-sheaves of homotopy groups with pointed simplicial pre-sheaves and associated sheaf is the sheaf theoretic filtered colimit of the sheaves of homotopy groups that come up for the individual pre-sheaves. Okay, now basically anything you can do with a spectrum in a formal sense you can do with a pre-sheaf of spectrum. Okay? So let's take a cofiber sequence. Let's take a fiber sequence. Okay, and this means it's a strict fiber sequence. So that all the maps and all the levels of fibrations are pointed simplicial pre-sheaves, global fibrations. Well, this is a strict fiber sequence in each section. In other words, when you evaluate at an object of the underlying site, you get a pre-sheaf, a fiber sequence of spectra like that. Okay, now the reason that's a strict fiber sequence in each section is that when you have a global fibration of pointed simplicial pre-sheaves and you look in each section, you're seeing a fibration there too, just by a lifting property. Okay, so this being a strict fiber sequence means that in each level, you're seeing fiber sequences of ordinary spaces, okay? And you're entitled to, well, let me write it this way. Yeah. You're entitled to line exact sequences. Associated with those fiber sequences in all the levels and all the sections, okay? Now, you can effectively take a filtered colimit of these fiber sequences, and what you see is the long exact sequence and stable homotopy groups. In all sections, like so. Okay, the long exact sequence of stable homotopy groups associated to a strict fiber sequence. Okay? And now, but this construction is completely natural in you, so what you're seeing is a long exact sequence now pre-sheaves of stable homotopy groups, okay? And you can take associated sheaves everywhere. The associated sheaf functor preserves exactness. So if you have a strict fiber sequence of pre-sheaves of spectra, you get a long exact sequence of stable homotopy groups like that, okay? And this is sheaves of stable homotopy groups. Okay. And of course, it's perfectly natural when you compare fiber sequences, you get comparisons to long exact sequences of sheaves coming up. All right. There's a very similar story for cofiber sequences. This is now a level-wise cofiber sequence, because it doesn't need to be anything else. You can replace every level-wise cofiber sequence by a cofiber sequence of the strict equivalence. Remember this model structure I wrote down and said it was an exercise. Okay. Now, again, you see cofiber sequences. Each section, because a level-wise cofiber sequence, when you take sections, it's level-wise, section-wise cofiber sequence. And now there's this little fact of life that when you have a cofiber sequence like this, of ordinary spectra and take stable homotopy groups, you get an exact sequence. In stable homotopy groups like that, okay? So this is a little trick. I've written it down in my notes, and it's a little trick about comparing Pupa sequences, effectively. But now, the next step out in the Pupa sequence is the suspension. The kth homotopy groups is a suspension of that guy, and suspension is shift in the category of spectra, ordinary spectra, and this is natural. So, out of this deal, you get a long exact sequence and stable homotopy groups associated to each cofiber sequence. Now, of course, this is a pre-sheave of long exact sequences. Okay, so that's it. An exact sequence of pre-sheaves of groups, you can take associated sheaves. The associated sheaf functor is exact. So you get a long exact sequence of sheaves of homotopy groups associated to a strict level-wise cofiber sequence of spectra, pre-sheaves of spectra. Okay, so this is the long exact sequence again. Sheaves of stable homotopy groups associated to one of these cofiber sequences. It's perfectly natural. Okay. So, I remember a map of pre-sheaves spectra. said to be a stable equivalence if and only if it induces isomorphism in all sheaves of stable homotopy groups. Okay, so they're all K and Z. But now you got these exact sequence machines working for you. So for example, if you have a comparison of cofiber sequences, okay, it's a comparison of cofiber sequences of pre-sheaves of spectra, then you can conclude from the Lie-Zach sequence that if any two of these maps is a stable equivalence, and so is the third. So that's from that comparison of Lie-Zach sequences and sheaves of stable homotopy groups. Well, there's a similar story for comparisons of Lie-Zach sequences for sheaves of stable homotopy groups arising from comparison of fiber sequences. Okay? So that's one way to recognize stable equivalences. All right. So here's a classical example. Suppose I give you a couple of spectra, X and Y, and look at their wedge sum. That's the coproductance category. It's the wedge sum at each level. Okay? But there's also a product, which is the product in each level. And there's a canonical map from one to the other, which is essentially the Kronecker delta. Okay? In other words, if you look at the restriction to X, then the map from X to the product takes, well, let's just say identity on X, and takes everything into the base point of Y, okay? And the corresponding thing for the inclusion of Y. Well, there's a cofiber sequence for the wedge, okay? And there's a fiber sequence the product, and of course these things are split, okay, even as maps of spectra. And if you look at the Lie-Zach sequences for these guys, for the cofiber sequence and for the fiber sequence, you see that there's short exact sequences in sheaves like that for the wedge, and similar story from the fiber sequence. Like so. And then there's a comparison that is induced by this map C. It's the identity here and here. So guess what? The wedge is weakly equivalent to the product. Okay? This is a stable equivalence of pre-sheaves of spectra. And that's the additivity property for the homotopy category of pre-sheaves of spectra. So it's the additivity property for the stable category. Once we believe that exists, all right? I wrote down the theorem last time. All right, let me show you a little application of this additivity thing, okay? If you believe that the maps just between spectra just add up, then there's a multiplication by n map defined somehow. How's it done? It's a diagonal map like that from X to the n-fold product of X itself, okay? There's also an n-fold wedge sum of copies of X and a canonical map, which is just essentially that iterated a few times, and it's a stable equivalence. At the same time, there's a fold map from this wedge sum down to X. It's the identity on each sum end. Okay, just like this diagonal is the identity into each factor. Well, this is what we mean by multiplication by n in the stable category. This means that subject to taking a cofibrant-fibrant model of X in the stable model structure, you get an actual map precedes the spectra like that. Okay? Once you adjust X a bit. So anyway, you can just deal with this in the stable category. And so you have this map, and it's cofiber. Homotopy cofiber has a special name. X mod n, okay? Now, what that means when you look at Lie-Zach sequences, in fact, there's Lie-Zach sequence of a cofibration at each level, okay? Well, let me be careful. Put the twiddle there. Where does the boundary map here go to? It goes into the end torsion and sees a stable homotopy group for X. And I'll write it the old-fashioned way. And what maps to it? Well, what maps to it is the cokernel of multiplication by N on the K-th stable homotopy group of X, which is this. So there's a short exact sequence of sheaves like that for all k associated to multiplication by n. All right. I didn't have to be careful. I could have worked with this section-wise. And there's a similar short exact sequence of pre-sheaves. Okay? So you get the other by just sheafifying. All right. So for example, if you take the K3 pre-sheaf spectra and take the cofiber multiplication by N there, what you get is a cofiber is mod N K3, okay? That's the definition of it. And the homotopy groups of mod N K3, well, that's what we usually mean when we write down something like this. Let me be more careful. Let's evaluate something. We're talking about the mod n k theory of a scheme here, U. Okay. And the stable homotopy groups of that are what we mean by the mod n k groups of K. Okay? For all K. So it doesn't seem so confusing. All right. And the mod n k groups of a scheme are related to the ordinary k groups in exactly this way. Okay? And you see this all over the place in homotopy theory. Another example is you could take the sphere spectrum, look at multiplication by n on that thing, and look at the homotopy cofiber. This is a cofiber sequence again. And this has a special name. It's called the Mohr spectrum associated to N. It's the Mohr spectrum for N. Okay. And of course, the stable homotopy groups for the sphere spectrum are a subject of much study, and they're big and dirty and awful. And it's still the case that the stable homotopy groups in the Mohr spectrum are big and dirty and awful as well. Okay. Okay. Something else to know takes the form of a slogan, namely that fiber sequences and cofiber sequences coincide in the stable category. Now, it was the way of the ancients to just say that, okay, and never tell you what it means. Let me tell you what it means. I give you a fiber sequence. It's two statements, really. I give you a fiber sequence, strict fiber sequence, okay, where you can conclude that this is a cofibration. Okay, it's the inclusion of the fiber. Then, of course, the map, this map is supposed to kill that map, so the quotient of x by f maps canonically to y, right? And one of the statements that's involved in the slogan is precisely that that's a natural stable equivalence. Not much to the proof. I wrote it up in the notes. It depends on knowledge of the Lie-Zach sequences and also additivity, right? And secondly, and you can think of this as kind of a consequence of the first, but there's still a little bit of work. If you have a cofiber sequence, where this is a strict monomorph, strict cofibration, well, remember, there's a strict model structure around, okay? And you can take this particular map and factorize it as a strict fibration following a strict weak equivalence. Now, this strict fibration will have a homotopy fiber. Guess what? A maps to it. Call this gamma. And the other statement here is that this is a stable equivalence. Okay. So the slogan should really say that after you fiddle with them a bit, fiber sequences and cofiber sequences coincide. Okay? And again, there's complete proofs of those in the notes. I should say as well that I put an explicit link to those notes on my homepage, so you can find it through my homepage now. Okay. Now, I've been talking about the stable model structure. And in some sense, all of this is in the context of that. Okay? And this is for precedes a spectrum, an arbitrary small Grothendieck site. All right. Now, I'll remind you of the definitions. An absence of weak stable equivalence, weak equivalence, if and only if it induces an isomorphism, then all shades of stable homotopy groups. Okay? The maps of cofibration. I'll say it a second way. If and only if all the level maps are cofibrations of pointless implicit precedes, as are these maps. Okay, draw in. Now take cofibers level wise and cofibrations on the cofibers. Okay? All right, and stable fibrations are defined by right lifting property with respect to trivial cofibrations, just like they have to be. Again, I told you what the function complexes look like. X and Y are spectra, or precedes of spectra. There's a function complex, which is a pointed implicit set. And the n simplices of the thing are a set of all maps from X half smash product with standard n simplices, and we're saying what this is into Y. Okay? And you let n vary, and that gives you this implicit structure. I remind you of the theorem again. The definitions of stable equivalence, cofibration, stable fibration that you see there. The category of precedes of spectra satisfies the for a proper closed implicit model category. And this category is cofibrously generated. Okay. Like I said, there's an old proof of this, based on what Bosfield and Friedlander did in their seminal paper. But there's a more recent proof, which you'll find in the notes, which starts by taking this thing right here seriously. Now, I don't want to go to that in too much detail since it's written down and it's easy. The proof is actually easy now. It involves one of the, well, let me just say what the proof involves. Well, it involves a little bit of cardinality arguments. In the fact that you have to verify what I call a bounded cofibration condition. Namely, if you have a cofibration here, and it's a trivial cofibration, stable equivalence, and If all the sections and all the levels and everything are bounded above by some infinite cardinal alpha, which is not itself an upper bound for the set of the morphisms of the underlying site, okay, then there exists an alpha bounded B, which is between A and Y. These are just sub-objects, such that when you pull back, you get a stable trigonal vibration. Okay, you're pulling back stable trigonal vibrations and asking for the pullback to be a stable trigonal vibration. Now, I babbled on yesterday a little bit about how when you pull back a co-fibration, you get a co-fibration, so you're entitled to this statement here. And to show that there's an alpha-bounded B which does the job, starts with the observation that if you have an alpha-bounded bounded object A in any sense, then the stable homotopy groups are going to be bounded as well. Okay, and you just play with that. The other main ingredient of the proof, and I'm not going to be explicit about it here, is that you verify a so-called solution set condition. For the bounded trivial co-fibrations. And these two things together tell you that a mass of stable fibration, if and only if it has the right lifting property with respect to all suitably bounded trivial co-fibrations. Okay? Okay. Now, I'm not going to be explicit about this. I wrote it up in the notes. I'd like to be explicit about it because, as far as I'm concerned, this is the best trick that's appeared in abstract homotopy theory in the last 10 years. Okay? But I don't want to get too formal here. But anyway, this is how you prove part of the co-fibrate and the generate statement. Yes? Yes, yes. That's where the terminology comes from, but to actually use it in homotopy theory, not think people run away, you have to strip away all the categorical terminology from it. And once you do that, it's a really nice trick. Yeah, it's related to the Fried adjunct functor. Okay, so this is how you get part of the co-fibrate and the generated statement. The other part is essentially a triviality that follows from the corresponding thing for the strict model structure. And then once you have these in play, the factorization axioms just fall out, and everything else does too. So I'm going to leave it at that. Now, let me tell you what I haven't done here. If you look at this model structure, it's co-fibrately generated so that the fibrate models are natural. Okay? So every pre-sheaf of spectra, pre-sheaf of spectra have natural fibrate models, natural stably fibrate models. That means that this is a trivial co-fibration, although it just needs to be a stable equivalence, and that this is a fibrant, stably fibrant spectrum, or pre-sheaf spectrum. Okay, so there's a natural construction like this that comes out of the way we've done the model structure, all right? Now, you could look at the way Bosfield and Friedlander did their original theorem, the way they did the original argument, and there'll be a list of axioms there. There's A4, A5, A6, okay? And they just fall out of what we've done today. Well, I should have said here that the properness just comes from Y exact sequence argument, okay? And that was the big obstruction in the original proof. Okay, you had to do something about that. And Let me just say this. That these actions that they wrote down, whatever they are, follow for this functor. Take a stable vibrant model. Okay? Nice functor. And so more formal nonsense. You can prove the following. It's the recognition principle for stable vibrations. Well, whatever they did with Q in their paper, I can do with L. And one of these requirements is that P should be a strict vibration. Okay. Meaning it's a vibration at all levels, the planets and Pushel precedes. And secondly, if you look at this picture now, this is strictly homotopy Cartesian. So this is just a formal nonsense thing, and they're not going to prove it. It's just the same argument as both Guild and Freelander used, but I actually didn't write it down, so I wrote it down in my notes. So it's not much of a step from that. In fact, it's almost a corollary to the following. Namely that an object X, a pre-chief of spectra X, is stably vibrant. If and only if all spaces are all pre-chiefs and Pushel pre-chiefs and all levels are globally vibrant and Pushel pre-chiefs. Notation for point of simplicial precedes on C. That's one thing. And secondly, if you look at all these adjoint bonding maps, they're all weak equivalences. Again, in pointed simplicial precedes. In the local model structure that comes from the underlying topology. All right, something to know, if you don't know it already. If you have, everything here is cofibrant, right? So if you have a map between cofibrant and fibrant objects, which is a weak equivalence, it's a homotopy equivalence, okay? Homotopy in a naive sense, which means using the ordinary simplicial cylinder. So that when you look in all sections, you see weak equivalences of pointed simplicial sets. So this is a section-wise equivalences thing. Every weak equivalence of fibrant simplicial precedes is a section-wise equivalence for that reason. So that X, if it's going to be fibrant, means that all X n are fibrant, globally fibrant, simplicial precedes. And what's more, X is a precede of omega spectra. In other words, it's a precede of fibrant spectra. So the assertion that a pre-chief of spectra is stably fibrant is a very strong thing. Okay. in the traditional sense. Okay. So there's two pieces to what a fibrant spectrum is. All these objects and levels have to be fibrant, and all these adjoint bonding maps have to be equivalent to small sections. Okay. Now let's do something. Start with a spectrum X and take a strictly fibrant model. Okay, so this is a fibrant model in the strict homotopy category, so that I is a level-wise weak equivalence and the Fx is level-wise fibrant, okay? Now I'm going to do a construction that people have known about forever. This is a new spectrum. There's a canonical map, I think it's often called eta. And what's the spectrum that you, what's the level end piece of this new spectrum? It's the filtered colimit of this diagram. Okay. This is the stabilization construction from ordinary stable homotopy theory. Now, this is a strict equivalence. Okay, so it's a stable equivalence. Every strict equivalence is a stable equivalence. That thing, the construction is actually produced section-wise, okay? And for ordinary spectra, that's well known to be a stable equivalence. Okay, so it's a stable equivalence in each section, so it's a stable equivalence that precedes the spectra. Okay, so we got two stable equivalences. That's cool. And in fact, just by cofinality argument, this comparison map is actually an isomorphism on the nose, okay, just by cofinality. So this thing is almost stably fibrant, but to make it fibrant again, you take a strictly fibrant model. Okay. This is the construction that deserves to be called Q of X. In this category, it always was, and that's a natural stably fibrant model for X. And this is the construction we started with in the original proof. Okay, in the original proof, you produce an explicit stably fibrant model, namely this one, and work with that, and verify the Busfield-Friedlander axioms. There's one little gotcha, though. I'm sorry? No, I mean X. Inside the Q, you mean? This being the second line? What's wrong with that? Oh, well. Let's change everything to Y. Okay? This is a natural definition. Okay. Now, what's this gotcha? I'll try to explain this. This is a slippery little devil. Here's, of course, a picture like this. Okay. It is clear that you have a strict stable equivalence there. Okay, and this is the last. This is strict, this is a weak equivalence. Okay, a local weak equivalence of finite simplicial precedes. This, in fact, is an isomorphism. Okay? And you want to be convinced that this map here is a local weak equivalence of finite simplicial precedes. To convince yourself you have a stably vibrant model. Okay? Well, you can do that if you can show that this is a local weak equivalence. And you certainly can because the loop functor, and indeed the function complex involving any finite simplicial set, okay, induces weak equivalences when it's said local weak equivalences of precedes of kind complexes. You have to work a little bit to prove that. Okay, that's fine. So in fact, yeah, this is a stable object. But if you're fooling around trying to replace a circle by something more interesting, this is exactly what causes trouble. Okay? Okay. If you put in something other than the circle to define what you mean by spectrum here, namely if you're smashing, you're suspending by smashing with copies of T here, whatever it is, pointed simplicial precedes, then this is the step that gives you trouble. Let me just say, if you have a pointed simplicial, well, T and Y are pointed simplicial precedes. This will come up later. This thing is defined to be a pointed function complex of maps from T to Y. Okay. And those of us that have been through motivic trip have it printed on our brains that T stands for Tate object, okay? Suspension by a simplicial circle of the multiplicative group pointed by the identity. Okay, and this is on the smoothness neighbor site. That's some decent scheme. Okay, so this is the example you should have in mind whenever I say T. Okay, and I'll talk more about that later. Say T, John Tate is looming in the background, okay, as he would, he's tall. All right. Well, that's all the formal stuff I want to say for a little while. We've got this lovely stable model structure, and it was developed to do computations. I want to try to show you some of those some of the motivation now. And it's all wrapped up. And what I mean when I say the word descent, okay? remind you, the stably fibrant model for pre-sheaf X is a stable equivalence like so, where Z is stably fibrant. Example, of course, this naturally stably fibrant model I've already alluded to. All right, other examples right there. Okay, that composition there. Let's take a pre-sheaf specter on a site C. I say that it satisfies descent. If any stably fibrant model, some hence any, let me just say any, any stably fibrant model induces stable equivalences in all sections. Now, in some sense, a lot of the hard problems in algebraic K-theory, and maybe things like the Baum-Kahn conjecture, non-commutative geometry as well, are examples of descent problems. That's the quest for spectra which satisfy descent in some context. Okay? Let me show you why you would care. The point is overall that if Z is stably fibrant, then you'll see that you can recover the stable homotopy groups of the sections of Z from techniques involving cohomology theory and spectral sequence. Okay? But if all these guys are stable equivalents, the same is true of the stable homotopy groups of X in all sections. Okay? So this gives you a computational machine, if it exists, the stable homotopy groups of a pre-sheaf spectra X. That's what's going on. So let me illustrate a little bit. Let's take a point of simplicial pre-sheaf and a stably fibrant pre-sheaf of spectra. There's a pointed simplicial set. This is a spectrum, an ordinary spectrum. Whose space at level n is the function complex of maps. Point of simplicial pre-sheaves from X to the space of level n for Z. Okay? And the bonding map I'll be a little bit facetious about this. It is induced the adjoint bonding mass for Z itself, and there's a canonical isomorphism. From the function complex, taking values in loops to loops of the function complex. Okay. A better way to say this is this adjoint of a bonding map for Z itself. Okay. Because it's really easy. You're in stable homotopy theory long enough, you understand that the orders of how things are written down matter a lot. Okay. And it's really easy to screw up orderings when you just rely on isomorphisms like that. Okay. Now, I could have expressed this as a function. Well, no, I don't want to do that. I was going to say I could have expressed this as a function spectrum, but we don't want to go there yet. Okay. Well, what's good about this? Let's have a map of pointed simplicial pre-series that certainly induces a map backwards in the spectra, okay? And if this happens to be a local weak equivalence, then this is a stable equivalence. It's a strict equivalence, in fact. It's because all these guys are globally fibrant, they take weak equivalences in X to weak equivalences of simplicial sets, okay? Or, no, that's not exactly the right way to say it. They take trivial cofibrations in pointed simplicial pre-sheaves to trivial fibrations of pointed simplicial sets. That's the right way to see it. And then you see that these maps take weak equivalences to points of pointed simplicial pre-sheaves to weak equivalences of simplicial sets because Zn is globally fibrant. Okay? That's the key point here. All right. So let's do an example. K is going to be a scheme over some scheme S. And S is decent according to whatever flavor of the day you're using. Okay. And T will represent a pre-sheaf. The category of schemes over S with whatever topology you're using, okay? Whatever geometric topology you might want to use. Okay. So a hypercover is a map of simplicial pre-sheaves to this constant guy, okay, which is a local weak equivalence. Well, now, let me be a little bit more precise. Classically, it means locally trivial fibration. What that means in particular is that it enhances a local equivalence. That's all we care about for now. This is a local weak equivalence, so it's going to induce a map backwards. I'm going to add a disjoint base point to T at this point. And this is our stably fibrant pre-sheaf of spectra, and this is the function complex. What do they call it? V. recognized and said. Now that's a local weak equivalence, so this is a stable equivalence inspector. Let's call this pi to emphasize the point. It's supposed to be z. This is a map induced by pi in the opposite direction. That's a stable equivalence, okay? This gadget is isomorphic to the sections of Z as the scheme T, okay? And this guy is what it is. It's a total complex of some co-simplicial object involving the spaces at level N that appear, the objects at level N that appear in B. If V happens to be representable, then this gadget is a total spectrum associated to the co-simplicial spectrum that you see by feeding the pieces of V at the various simplicial degrees into Z. Okay? Now, for decent schemes and decent topologies like the Eitel topology, you can always assume that this V can be refined by something representable. Okay? So this isn't much of an obstruction, this assumption here. Now, I belong to the generation that cut its teeth on the Busfield-Kahn book on co-simplicial spaces, and also on Mumford's Red book. Okay, but what Busfield-Kahn tell you is that because you have this weak equivalence of this spectrum with this total space of a co-simplicial guy, that there's a spectral sequence get the indexing right. So the spectral sequence associated with this co-simplicial spectrum. And I'm going to fiddle with the indexing too. Okay. And it converges maybe to the thing it's weakly equivalent to, which is the stable homotopy groups, the values that Z takes at T. Okay, this is just the Busfield-Kahn technology. There's quotes around convergence because it might be trouble sometimes, okay? But this is the spectral sequence machine. And it gives you, in fact, a machine for computing stable homotopy groups of the values of Z at T out of homological information involving its hypercover. Okay? That is, in fact, the general form of the so-called finite descent spectral sequence. I should have said that this V could be, for example, check resolution associated to some covering of T, okay? So, example, let me write it down. If you have a finite Galois extension of a field, Galois group G. Okay? Now let's work with the Eitel topology for the spectrum of the field. Okay, let's just say it that way. The Eitel topology for K, at least the Zariski spectrum associated to K. Then what does this check resolution look like? Well, you take iterated products of all, you know, of all the maps down to the base. Here's the first of them. And it's just Galois theory. It tells you that this is a ring. Is a finite product of copies of L indexed by the elements of this finite Galois group. Okay? In particular, the hypercover, what this means is that the hypercover for the HL covering represented by the map from the spec of the field L to spectral Galois extension down to spec of K. Well, you iterate this isomorphism a few times, and what you see is that the hypercover for that covering on the HL site for K is isomorphic to this Borel construction for the action of the Galois group on the Galois extension. So Z happens to be one of these precedes of spectra on the ATEL site for this field, which is stably fibrant. Then, in global sections, in other words, the evaluation of Z at the underlying field, okay, you're seeing a weak equivalence, stable equivalence, with that spectrum, and you make the translation because this is representable. That's the homotopy fixed points of the action of G on L. So the finite descent spectral sequence for such a gadget Z is in fact a homotopy fixed point spectral sequence for this action. Now we all knew this a long time ago. Okay, and Bob Thompson, people like me had much fun with this 15, 20 years ago. Okay. There was a fantasy at the time that finite descent implies descent in the sense I described here. But nobody's ever been able to prove that, and I don't think it's true. But if you're really careful, you can compare this notion to the sort of descent I just began by discussing, and that's what's involved in Thompson's proof of his theorem that but periodic algebra K theory of Mayow coefficient satisfies descent. All right. So how do you make the descent spectral sequence in general? Okay, and this is for a connective object. And what that means is that when you look at the stable homotopy group series of X, they vanish in negative degrees. Okay. Well, such a gadget has a Posnikov tower. I'm not going to tell you how to make it. It's a little bit tricky to do that. It involves a different kind of suspension, in my view. The key point is that the map from X to the nth stage of the Posnikov tower is an isomorphism of stable homotopy group sheaves up to level n. And And I was allowed to start with the zeroth level because of this connectivity condition. Okay? That's one thing. And secondly, these sheaves are zero for k bigger than n. That kind of characterizes the nth stage of the plastic cup tower. All right. You can write down a tower by saying, well, this guy is the zeroth plastic cup resolution of that, and so on. Okay, so it all fits together. Now, I should say this is the old way of writing down the descent spectral sequence. There's other ways that have arisen later. Andreas and Polarnik can tell you about that if they want. Okay, so what do? We take stably fibrant models everywhere. Okay, you start here. Take a stably fibrant model right there in the zero stage. This, by the way, because you're just stripping off the stuff in level zero and putting zeros everywhere else, this is the Edinburgh-MacLean spectrum for the zero stable homotopy sheaf of X up to stable equivalence. So you take a stable fibrant model for that, and then you find stable fibrant models for everything else by taking this and factorizing it as a trivial cofibration and a fibration. So in the process, you acquire a stably fibrant model for the first stage of the Poisson-Trost tower and then crawl up it like so. Okay, you do this inductively. In other words, what you're doing is replacing the Plotnikov tower by a fibrant object in the category of towers for the stable category. Now, of course, when you look at the map from the nth stage of the Poisson-Trost tower to the n minus first stage of the Poisson-Trost tower and look at the fiber, what you're seeing there is a spectrum. It's got one non-trivial stable homotopy group sheaf, and level n is the stable homotopy group sheaf of X. So here's a fiber sequence. A little bit counterintuitive, but you have to shift the Edinburgh-MacLean spectrum minus n times, okay, to get the homotopy group into the right degree. So this is a fiber sequence. Now, if you look at that, this is ugly notation again. I'm going to take the fiber sequences that you get by taking stably fibrant models. And the underlying model structure is proper, so that when you take stably fibrant models for fibration and look at the map-induced fibers, you get a stably fibrant model again. Oopsie. Screwed up. Let's start again right here. So I want to take stably fibrant models everywhere, and I get a comparison of fiber sequences like that. And now I take global sections. You're evaluating at the base scheme, if you like, okay? And this is a fiber sequence of spectra. And I told you what the homotopy groups of this thing have to be. They have to be the cohomology groups of the underlying site with coefficients in this sheaf of homotopy groups that you're seeing here. Read backward, but starting in degree n this time. Okay? That's the way it works out. Okay, this is just a matter of fitting these fiber sequences together and involving the various finite pieces inside of the Klein spectrum. Together with things that you know, associated cohomology in the Klein spaces. Okay, so you've got a vibration tower machine with fibers that you think you understand. Okay? And all that information organizes itself into a spectral sequence. So I'll just write it this way. I mean, there's a spectral sequence to every tower of vibrations of spectra, and this is the spectral sequence I'm using. Again, this is Bose-Dilkon. Now, you have to re-index a little bit. Thomason tells us how to do this, and while you do that, the E2 term comes out as the cohomology of the underlying site with coefficients in the teeth homotopy groups, teeth pre-sheaf of stable homotopy groups of X, and it converges, again, maybe, okay, to the stable homotopy groups. And I'm going to be careful now. This is the inverse limit of this particular tower of vibrations. Okay. So there's two problems. This is the descent spectral sequence. Most general form, at least as we knew it up to a while ago. And there's two problems. One is that it might not converge. Okay. And the second, I'm going to say it in a different way, is that the map from the original spectrum X to the inverse limit of the fiber models of the Posnick cross-sections might not be a local weak equivalence. Or a stable equivalence. In fact, let me make it harder by putting in the global sections. It might not be a local weak equivalence, it might not be a weak equivalence in those sections. Okay. These are serious issues that you have to watch out for every time you start playing with one of these spectral sequences. And they're usually resolved meaning they're solved in the affirmative on decent topologies like the ACL topology by the assumption that there's a uniform bound on cohomological dimension in all sections, okay, in all the sheaves involved in the spectral sequence. Of some kind. This means technically in all sections at all, residue fields in all sections if you're working per site. So where this actually works is all the geometric situations and the number theoretic situations that you usually deal with to detail topology. Where it came up initially. Suppose our underlying scheme here is decent. And let's suppose that all the residue characteristics are relatively prime to some fixed prime L. E.g. characteristic zero. Okay. All right. So we have our fixed prime L. We can take the K theory presheaf of spectrum and form its mod L associated presheaf. Okay. Now, and we're going to work with the ATEL site for tests. Okay. Well, I work with a big ATEL site for S. I prefer that, but then I have to tell you what big means. It means relative to some cardinal. Okay. I can work with all schemes locally finite type over S, so long as I agreed that the cardinality should be bounded in some way, and I impose the ATEL topology on that. Okay, so we have this presheaf of spectra on that site, or those sites. It has a stably fibrate model. And let's suppose that some S scheme T has bounded ATEL cohomological dimension with respect to L torsion sheaves. Okay? So this is one of these situations where the sense spectral sequence actually works. Okay, I don't want to screw this up because I got some experts in the audience. Well, I don't really want to assume this. I want to assume that all the residue fields of the scheme have bounded ATEL cohomological dimension. I want to do more than that. I want this to be a geometric situation, so I want to assume that all these residue fields, when you include them in a separable closure, there's what's called a finite Tate sense filtration by relative cohomological dimension one steps. Again, this is just there in geometry, number theory. Okay. Then what does Lichtenbaum-Quillen conjecture say? Says that when you look at this comparison map evaluated at such a T, in other words, you're mapping the model case they're respecting for T into the T sections of a stably fibrant model. This, by the way, is one of the models of HLK theory. Okay. This induces an isomorphism at the stable homotopy groups. The map and stable homotopy groups induced by this comparison. This is an isomorphism for this written down wrong. I'm going to say it that way. Okay? Pardon me? Well, up to a while ago, this was the observed range. Okay? Yeah, as I say, it's written down around here, so I'm on thin ice. Okay. This conjecture follows from the corresponding thing for fields. That's why I'm so careful about saying what the residue fields look like. And the reduction, I don't have time to describe it now, but the reduction to the field case involves the first serious application of the Nisnevich descent theorem. It was the first time that we saw the Nisnevich topology doing its thing, and that was the result of Thomson in the late 80s, I believe. Okay. So, there's lots more to say about this. This was the main conjecture of algebraic K-theory. There's some question about whether or not it's proved yet. There's no proof written down. And there it is. But, you know, if this conjecture was the reason that all this stuff about Precy's spectra was invented in the first place. Okay, so we'll carry on next time.